pick up this week where we left off last week. We've been dealing again with the godly home, and part number one of that we said is salvation must be experienced. We're looking at different things underneath that. We've got about 5 points underneath that, that salvation must be experienced. And we see this here. Let's read first verse 14 and 15 of our text. In Joshua 24, 14 says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your father, which your fathers served, that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We kind of draw our whole concept here about a godly home, about this in the last part of verse 15. It's a very popular verse. Many houses, many walls on houses have this verse or part of this verse on them. We've used it ourselves in our own home before, and I'm sure you have too, but you take the whole context here of what's going on, put it together, and we see here some challenges that Joshua put forth to God's people here. And we said, first of all, that there was a disagreement there in verse 14 where it said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. And we're not going into all that, just to keep things in order here and refresh your mind where we're at, where we've been. And then the second thing we see was there was a decision where it said, choose you this day in verse 14 or 15. And there's a choice to be made, a decision to be made. And then there's a distraction that we covered last week as well here. Distinction. It says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house. There's a distinction here. Joshua made a distinction here as well. And then we ended up with that last week. And so then we have two more things. We should be able to cover these today with no problem. But number four in the message, we had disagreement, decision, a distinction. But now we have number four, a determination. It said in verse number 15, we will serve the Lord. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's a determination here. Amen. Upon Joshua. And first of all, we see here that this is a kind of determination that requires some things. When we trust the Lord as our Savior, and I trust that you have trusted the Lord as your Savior, as I look out amongst you, I see of who I believe everyone in here has trusted the Lord as your Savior. But again, I'll tell you over and over again, I don't know your heart. If you haven't, you can trust him today, but I believe that folks here have. Don't go to heaven on the promise that you said that you're going to stand before God and say, Brother Ronnie said, I think he thought I was saved, okay? Because that's not going to get you in. If you have a question, you need to get that settled. But there's a determination here that Joshua puts forth. We see it in the verse here that he gives to God's people here. He says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Emphasis on the word will there. They're going to do something. When we get saved, I just know from my own experience, and I've shared this with you before, I knew that when I left that pew that night, that things were going to be different in my life. I had no idea how different they were going to be, but I knew they were going to be different because I knew, even at the young age of 16, I knew that what I was hearing from the Word of God was not what I was brought up with. And I knew that it would probably maybe cause a conflict with my family, but that seemed to pale in comparison to the dealing of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I'm glad I didn't let that hold me up. I'm glad I didn't say, man, what's mom and dad going to say? What's brother and sister's going to say? What's the rest of the family? What's grandma and grandpa going to say? I'm glad I didn't do that. I'm glad I didn't yield to that part. You know, there's always those two, you know, the cartoons showed you the angel and the devil in your conscience speaking to you. I'm glad that pretty much I would say that the conscience was ruled out. It was the Holy Spirit dealing with me, and I'm glad I listened to him, but I knew things would be different. And again, I didn't know how different they would be, but yet God worked that out. I'm trying to think of how the verse starts. Philippians 1:6. Yeah, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He begun that work that day. Was I where I am today then? No. None of us are.
That's right.
Now, there's a certain element of my faith I wish was still there. But yet I've grown in the Lord, and we all should grow in the Lord. And certainly if you've seen a child that was 41 years old, which I'm 41 years old in the Lord, that was still being fed with a bottle, you would say, what's wrong? But yeah, I've grown in the Lord, but it took determination and it took God working in me to work things out, work out your own salvation, the Bible talks about there. But there's a determination that we must have if we're going to serve the Lord, just like Joshua had that determination. I'm not saying that you don't have it, but it's just in the message here, and we're going to touch on it. We're going to touch on some things that it takes, that determination requires. There's three things here I'd like to touch on this morning. Then we'll hopefully move on into the direction, the last point in this part of the message. But the first thing I want you to see is it takes leadership to have determination. It takes determination as a leader to do right. It takes determination to be the kind of man God wants you to be. It takes determination to be the husband that God wants you to be. It takes determination to be the father that God wants you to be. Not a self-determination, not that we can do it of ourselves, but determine that you're going to trust God and live for him and serve him and do what it takes. It's the leadership is said, I got wrote down here, true leaders make difficult decisions. As a man, as a father, and as a husband, sometimes I have to make difficult decisions. I've had several difficult decisions in the last couple months, but God has honored the decisions, and they've been rooted and grounded in him. But all through my Christian life, I've had to make decisions, and some of them have been difficult. I say as a man, as a father, and as a husband, you ladies as well have decisions to make. As young ladies, as young men, not married yet, you have decisions to make. The decisions you make as a young person are defining your character. Sometimes I hear young people say, well, I just want to be married and I just want to have a family like so-and-so does. And And I want that, I desire that, and there's nothing wrong with that. But don't get ahead of God. Spend your time wisely that God, the area God has you in right now to learn. I mentioned this the other week. And I got saved in June of 85. I got married in June of 90, or July of 96. There's quite a span there that I spent as a single man. And I didn't spend all that time doing it, but I realized in the later years that I should be, even though I wanted to be married and have a family, that I should use my time wisely in the house of God and under the instruction of the Word of God to learn how to do this. Because there's nothing like going into something knowing nothing about it. As a mechanic, every now and then we get into stuff. Jason, you ever tore into something you really didn't know anything about? And went, whew, it takes longer to get through it. But if we're smart, we'll do a little reading, a little research before we dive into something. I worked with a mechanic years ago. He was just rough and rumble. He just tear into anything. And he was a pretty good mechanic, but just everything, everywhere. And I'm not that way. I tear something apart, it's laid out. It's laid out in the order I took it apart so I can put it back together, whether I have a book or not. But I'm saying that to say there's many things that you get into in life that you have to have determination to do right. And use this time, young people. Use this time. Amen. Don't sit around feeling sorry for yourself because, oh, what was me? I'll never get married. I'll never have a family. Trust God for that. Trust Him and learn what you can. You're sitting in a Sunday school class that's teaching, where we're teaching on how to have a godly home. You're going to need that one day. You're going to need it. Trust me. When that time comes, hopefully you'll look back and remember, you know what? This is how we should do this. Because if you got some instruction, it helps things go a lot better. It's the manly thing, as I spoke of in the graduation, to throw the instructions away. I don't need them instructions. Ah, my man. But most men, if they would be honest with man and God, sooner or later you're peeking back looking at something, or you're going, if I would have only put this together before I put that together. Steve, you're guilty as can be. I see it. Because your wife just called you out. Then, because you put something together, then you got to take it back apart, and it never goes back together right. And it happens. It's trust me, it's happened to me plenty of times. But what am I saying? It takes determination to do things right, fellas. Ladies, young men, determination to do right. Joshua said here, we will serve the Lord. Will. There's determination in that. And Joshua was truly a leader. We know that. But he as well had difficult decisions to make as a husband, as a father, and as the man of God that God, the position that God had given him. Decisions. What kind of decisions? I wrote a couple things down here. Decisions on who we will fellowship with. Mm-hmm. Who we're hanging around with. Who we're spending time with.
Yes, sir.
That can be a difficult decision for some. Well, after you've grown in the Lord, you learn. And sometimes you learn the hard way, but you learn. You know, I like the guys I work with. I get along with them pretty good. And we cut up and carry on from time to time, do things. But you know what? When 5 o'clock hits, I'm not at the bar. Amen. Now, not everybody I work with is at the bar at 5 o'clock, but there's some that's all they talk about. I heard one of them Friday. It was got sent home early because of the rain, and he was just happy as could be. I'm going home. I'm going to drink a beer. I might drink a case of beer. And complain about his health. Been to the doctors. I can't figure out what's wrong with me. Common sense. But nonetheless, that's just as simple. You know, you say, well, that's extreme, Brother Ryan. We wouldn't expect you to go drink beer with them. And I wouldn't. But it's a decision. And it's a decision that you know, can from time to time bring some criticism to me. I wouldn't call it persecution by any means. I don't know that I've ever really been persecuted, if it comes down to it. But it's a decision. I'm going home to my family. Amen. And I'm going home to people that love the Lord. And if it's Wednesday night, I'm coming home and we're going to be here at church. If it's, you know, the weekend, I know Sunday we're going to be here. It's a decision. Decisions you face with. Who are you going to fellowship with? Birds of a feather flock together, they say. Yeah. Hang with the dogs, you'll get fleas. Mm-hmm. You know how it goes. But decisions, difficult decisions sometimes. What's another one? What we see. What we listen to. What we wear.
Amen.
And what we say.
Yes, sir.
What we see. What do we see? You know, years ago, I heard preaching upon about televisions. And there was many, many of us who had no television or the television, just decided that, you know what, there's nothing on there that's good. We're getting rid of it. I remember getting to the place in our home where we made that decision. And so we did that. Now, if you come to my house today, there is a television. It's not hooked up to any cable or anything. But the things that are saw on that are kept in a case in our house. Very selective about anything we watch. We don't have Hulu or Netflix or none of that kind of stuff. And you say, well, you're getting close to the corn, Brother Ryan. Sorry, I told you a couple weeks ago. There's some things.
Sure.
There's some things that need to be said. And I've realized it over the years. And I haven't said anything. I am not perfect, folks. Joshua wasn't perfect, but he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Folks, we let too many things get in our way of serving the Lord.
Yes, we do. Amen.
And I'll be the first one to tell you that when I get that weekly report on my phone of what time I've spent doing stuff, I get very convicted about it. I'm not going to be as foolish as to say, I'm going to delete this app and that app, and then a week later, add them again to my phone. That's senseless. But we do, preacher mentioned, we don't really need the TV anymore. We carry it in our pocket.
Yeah.
What we see, and I've warned you before, and you should know it, they're called pop-ups. They're called algorithms, and they will target you because they know who you are. They know your age. They know whether you're male or female, and they will target you. You're only one click away. Leads to another click, to another click. What we see, what we listen to. Now, this could be on your phone, it could be on your television, it could be on your radio and your vehicle. But what we listen to. I've tried to get to the point in my life, I've been to that point for many years, although I fail sometimes. But folks, what we do when we're alone shapes our character. It is what we are.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And if we can spend time alone in a vehicle, or maybe you're alone at home. I'm hardly ever alone at my home, but you know, you can get to places. We get to alone places. What you do, what I do in those times, that's who we are. And yes, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we've gotten to an age and a time where things have just crept into our lives. And folks, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump.
Just a little. Mm-hmm.
We want God's hand on us and God's hand on this church. You know, what we've been through here in the last couple months, everybody has come together. As far as I know, we're doing good. We are moving forward, as Pastor has emphasized. Let's move forward. And we're moving forward for the Lord. We're not spending time in the past. We're moving forward for the Lord. But if we want that, folks, our lives got to be clean.
Yes, sir.
They've got to be. And leadership requires true leaders make difficult decisions. You and I, especially us men here, we're leaders. Mm-hmm. We should be the leaders. If you're not, you need to reevaluate that. Mm-hmm. Be the leader in your home. That is to follow the Lord, number one.
Amen.
But what we listen to, it will affect us. What we do, what we see in private. Preacher, it scares me, these young people with phones.
Yeah.
Because I know what comes on my phone. And as my children get older, and we've kind of made it a pact that, you know, and some people will just laugh at us or whatever, but I've just made a pact. You don't get a phone. You don't get it from me until you graduate. Somebody will say, well, they need it. I didn't need a phone when I was 16 years old.
Amen.
Where we live, if the Wi-Fi service goes out, nothing works.
Amen.
I don't have it with me. I leave it back there under the pew. But the leader in the home has control of the Wi-Fi. When things get out of hand, they'll come out of the woodwork. I don't know. Sometimes you might say this is a lie, but I don't know. I don't know what happened. Live with it. Or live without it, rather. But it scares me because 24 hours a day, that thing can bring junk into your head.
Yes, sir.
You say, well, Brother Ron, you got to have control. Yeah, you do. But I can't control, as a father, I can't control everything my children's doing. I know that. I've learned that a long time ago. They have their own will. But what? Things we see, things we listen to, things we wear. I know you haven't heard that in a long time. Fellas, dress like men.
Yeah.
I'm not going into all the verses, we could. But dress like men.
Amen.
You know, it's become a thing in recent years. I've seen it creep into places. It's all around us. Especially this time of year. Men in shorts. You say, oh, the Bible says not to cover uncover the thigh. It's below the thigh. Well, you know what? You start with little things, and they'll lead to bigger things. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to see your ugly legs anyway.
Yeah.
There's a reason why in the bulletin or from the pulpit, it's announced the church outing as we had yesterday, there's no shorts. There's a reason. And if you started, I've always looked at it this way, as for me and my house, and me and my wife, we agreed on this a long time ago. If we dress our boys that way, why can't we dress our girls that way? If the boys could come here in shorts, why can't the girls come here in shorts? Think about it. And that takes you down a slippery slope as you go into that, if you choose to do that, because what are you going to do one day when your kids just start dressing that? And little Susie says, well, little Johnny dressed that way. I want to dress that way. It all goes into, you can take it into cross-dressing and all that. But what we wear, men dress like men. Ladies dress like ladies. Not like women, dress like ladies. Mm-hmm. Not too low. Not too high, not too tight. As a leader, you're faced with difficult decisions. I have had to say something to people in my house before about their dress. And we didn't argue about it. It was changed. Difficult decisions. Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. Things we say as well, what comes out of our mouth, decisions, what will we see, listen to, wear, say. They're just a few things I wrote down. I'm not trying to pick on anybody. And then places we go, where we go as a Christian, that affects us. Something that I've noticed has crept in is people have no problem going to the movie house anymore, preacher.
Yeah.
What's happened? My thoughts on that? Or you decide to go to the movie house, and you park outside, and you walk in. There's multiple movies there. I know. I went to the movies years ago, too. There's kids' movies. What they call them? G. There's PG movies, I think. I don't know if they still have his ratings or not. But where parental guidance is suggested, that means it's a little worse. And then I don't know what goes on after that. I think it was R, restricted, or something like that. And there's X. Well, if you see something with an X, you think you might want to stay away from it. This is branded with an X. Why would I want to see this? But you say, well, I'm only going to see this. Okay? Your neighbor pulls in beside you who you've tried to be witness to, and they see you walking in. How do they know where you're going?
That's right.
It's just been our practice for years. Folks, it's part of, I'm not on a tangent this morning, but it's part of the godly family. You want a godly family, you need to live godly. And if we're not living, if we're doing things such as that, we're not living godly. That's just the way it is.
Amen.
Leadership requires true leaders to make difficult decisions. You know what? Joshua was faced with all these people. And he knew that some of them were gonna, he wouldn't have said, choose you this day, if he didn't know that some of them were gonna choose it. But he couldn't make the choice for them. I can't make the choice for you on the things I just said, other than to say, it was preached years ago, and it's still good, it still holds true. It still holds true, whether you've heard it or not. It still holds true. It's our testimony, folks. As a leader, we leave a testimony. As a leader, as a man, as a husband, as a father, as a man of God, our testimony is before our children, our grandchildren, our community, our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, sometimes we judge ourselves by ourselves. Well, brother and so does that. I'm going with him. How do you know brother and so is doing it, has conviction of the Holy Spirit upon him about these things? It's our testimony. Our testimony as a leader should be one. The Bible talks about in the New Testament being spotless. Not having spots. Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. Now he was speaking of him and his house. And I can only speak of me and my house. And as I've told my children in the past, and I will tell them in the future, you're living under this roof, you abide by our rules. And our rules are grounded in the Word of God. Nothing I just told you this morning is not in the Word of God. It's in there. There's leadership, there's loyalty in determination. Joshua's God had never done him wrong. Why wouldn't he serve him? Joshua looked back on how God brought him through being born in Egypt and raised up and then delivered out of there. And yet, and all the time he spent under Moses, he knew that God would not fail him. He was loyal to God. God never let him down, never would. The third thing is there's leadership, loyalty, then there's love. To be able to serve God alone will require a special love for Him. I spoke earlier of the years, the 10 years I spent before I got married. And up till then, when I left here, I didn't have Christian fellowship. When I went home, I didn't have Christian fellowship. I spent a lot of years alone. I spent an abundance of time with Pastor Cobins and his family as they took me under their wing at an early age, as an early age in the Lord, and took me in and tried to help me, and we've had sweet time of fellowship there with him and his family many, many times there at his house and even here at the church. But when I went home, I was alone. I thought about that love for the Lord that we should have, the determination to have love for him, that even when we're alone, we love him. When we're alone, I spoke of earlier, is who we are. It shapes our character, who we are. Do we love God when we're alone? Do we love him when there's nobody else around us serving him? Think about Joseph, Daniel, Paul, all those who served the Lord. Paul even said, I believe he said there, it's in 2 Timothy chapter 4, about no man stood with me. But yet he continued to serve. And so we see that. I'm just going to take a couple more minutes here. I want to finish this up. There's determination. Under determination, we sell leadership, loyalty, and love. Those things that we must have if we're going to serve the Lord. If we're going to be like Joshua and say, we will serve the Lord. It takes much determination. The number five, it quickly, is the direction. The direction is seen there in the end of verse 15. Says, serve the Lord. That's the direction. The direction that Joshua is going. He said, we will serve the Lord. You can't serve him until you've been saved. Then and only then can you serve him. There's no way that you can morph into being a Christian, folks. You young people that are coming up in Christian families, you don't morph into being what mom and dad are, if mom and dad are saved. It doesn't just happen. There has to be a time and a place where you have been convicted of sin, righteousness, judgment to come, and you've trusted Christ as your Savior. Isaiah 55 and verse 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. If you don't know him, you can know him today. Yes. Only those who have put their faith and trust in the Lord to take away their sins can serve him in sincerity and truth. That's found back in verse 14 where it says, therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. We can't have a godly family without salvation. We can't lead our family without salvation. We can't serve the Lord without salvation. Don't get things out of order. Only these can have a godly home that has experienced salvation. Next week we're going to, Lord willing, we'll move on. I want to finish that up. We'll move on to the second point in having a godly home, and that is that the Scripture, we said the first point, large point, was salvation must be experienced, but the second one is the Scripture must be embraced. Folks, I've said a lot of things this morning, and it's quiet in here. But we must embrace the Scriptures if we're going to have a godly home. Nothing I told you can't be found in here. If you got a problem with it and you want to talk to me about it and say, Brother Ron, you're just on your high horse. No, it come from here. And it come from years of experience of doing what I can as a leader to lead my home, to have a godly home. I believe I have a godly home by the grace of God. Not everything is right in our home, okay? There's things we're still working on. After 30 years of marriage and 7 children, trust me, there's still things we're working on. There's still some rough edges that God's trying to sand off and work around. And each and every one of us, if we're honest, will say the same. But we're here to try to help you. And I try to be sensitive to the Spirit of God in what I say and what He wants me to say. Okay? So let's pray.